Greetings, my noble subjects. I welcome you here to my banquet hall in Jerusalem, the greatest banquet hall in Jerusalem. I know some of you traveled far to come here, and for that I thank you. Most of your faces I recognize, but some of them I don't. You all know me. I am your king, Herod the Great, Herod the Builder, Herod the King of the Jews. I know you've heard stories about me. Don't believe them. Unless they're flattering, of course. I know that you're not happy with me. But on my life, I do not understand why. What kind of king do you want? What kind of king do you want? I have spent my life defending our eastern borders against invaders. And even though we are under Roman rule, I have worked so hard so that you live in autonomy. Except for the small fee of taxes that you pay to Rome every year. I have worked hard to build aqueducts to bring fresh water here into the city of Jerusalem. I have worked hard to build the fortifications around the wall of Jerusalem so that this great city will never fall. I have rebuilt the temple of God, Solomon's temple. It's amazing. White marble. Gold inlay. It is so incredible that when travelers are coming to Jerusalem, they know that they've arrived miles before they've arrived because they can see it. It's beautiful. And when I had it rebuilt and restored it to its former glory, better than its former glory, better than the time of Solomon, I insisted that we built it according to the Torah, to the Tanakh. Caesar wanted to use his soldiers, but I fought him for you, and I insisted that we only use stone masons that are priests trained as stone masons, so that we would preserve the purity of the temple. I did this all for you. I converted to Judaism for you, and yet you still hate me. Why is that? Is it because I'm half Edomite? I'm sorry, that's just racist. Shame on all of you. What kind of king do you want? You want a king just like me, one who builds, one who gives you things. And you know that even though I have power, I empower you, noble people. And I empower the priests who you want me to give power. And I'm sorry. I am rather ill. My doctors wanted me to delay this meeting, but I told them some of you had traveled too far for me to cancel. You are far too important to me. Let me start at the beginning. About 4 months ago, wise men, magi, pagan astrologers, philosophers from the East came with a group of 40 here to the city of Jerusalem. Many of the people were alarmed, as was I. Many of you were here on that day and you were concerned. Who are these foreigners? Why are they here? What are they doing? And why are they heavily armed? And then they began going around the entire city asking, "Where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we have saw his star rise in the east and have come to worship him." I was so alarmed, I left my palace, I went to the temple, and I went past the court of women to a private chamber and met with the chief priests and scribes. Like you, I've heard how people twist the scriptures, and they believe in this mythological son of David that will one day rise up, this legendary person who would come from the line of King David, the line that is long dead and passed away, and that he would come and not only rule Israel, but the whole world. I asked the priests and the scribes who this was, where he would be born. And they immediately knew. They said, why? In Judea, of Bethlehem, of course, because just as it's written in the prophet, but O you, Bethlehem, though you are least in Jerusalem, from out of you will come a leader who will shepherd my people Israel. They were so eager to tell me what I wanted to know, because they knew if I got what I wanted, I would give them what they wanted. That's the kind of king you want. So I left the temple and I went back to my palace. And I sent my most trusted communicator, my most trusted messenger, Balak, to go and find the Magi, invite them here to this very banquet room so that I could understand what they wanted. And I know, I should have told all of you first, but I was so concerned, I didn't want to alarm anyone more than they already were, and now I realize that was a mistake. I'm sorry for that. But the Magi, they came, and they brought with them their entire group. And before you ask, no, I don't know how many of them were Magi and how many of them were guards. They all looked the same and talked the same and smelt the same. But I know maybe at least 3 were Magi, maybe 12, maybe 20, I don't know. But at least 3. And while we were here in the banquet hall, I had my best tables brought in. I gave them my greatest food. They sat in the most comfortable seats. I gave them my finest wine. And as they ate and drank, I began to ask them what they were doing here in our humble city of Jerusalem. And one of them, Melchior, I think his name was, he said, there is a common belief among all of us Magi that one day a great king will rise up. He will be a Jew, and he will rule not only over Israel, but he will bring peace to the entire world. And then another one, Belshazzar, said, about 18 months ago, we saw the convergence of Venus and Jupiter in the sky, and we knew that was the great sign in the sky, the star of the Messiah, the king had been born. And I said, 18 months ago, then why are you coming here now? And another one, something like that, he said, we had to gather supplies. And we had to gather forces, and we had to get food together. And already we've traveled 800 miles to come here to the city of Jerusalem. And so Melchior turned around to me and said, we've asked all of your holy men, and we've been asking throughout the city, and they told us that this Messiah has been foretold in your scriptures, and that the Messiah would be born just south of here in a town called Bethlehem. Tomorrow we shall go. And then he gestured to one of the soldiers, and they brought out these giant chests of gold and treasures, and he started to show me them. And he said, we brought him gold for his prophet, frankincense to be with him on his journey, and myrrh to soothe him in his darkest hours. I smiled. I asked them about their families and how many children they have and about their beliefs. And as the night grew long and they grew heavy with the wine and the food. I said, as king of this region, go to Bethlehem tomorrow. Stay here tonight, go tomorrow. And when you find this Christ, this child, come back to me and report to me where he is so that I too may worship him. This realm will need a protector when I'm gone. And as they continued to drink and began falling asleep, they slept here in the room for the night. The next morning, they left for Bethlehem, eager to be my spies. Can you imagine? Bethlehem? Have any of you ever stopped at Bethlehem when you had to pass through it? A dingy, flea-ridden, backwater, underdeveloped town that's not even fit to travel through on the way to Hebron or beyond. Unbelievable. The son of David, the Messiah, the king, the one who would bring peace to the whole world, born in that miserable, excrement-covered town. What kind of king do you want? Do you want a king who's born in filth? No. You want a king like me. I was born in a great city. I was born to a great family, not some peasants. I was brought up around kings, and I have fought every single day of my life for every ounce of power I have and the power you now enjoy. What kind of king do you want? You want one just like me. I imagined what the Magi would see on that day when they traveled down to Bethlehem. And they would knock on the door of some miserable hovel, and then some peasant girl would come out trembling and scared, and they would tell her that her child that she was clutching to her breast was a Messiah, that he was a king, that he would not only rule Israel but the entire world. And then they would bow down and worship him. And then they would bring these massive chests of treasure, each of which was worth more than that disgusting, filthy, stinking child could ever get his fingers around in his entire life. Pathetic. I waited a day. I waited a week, thinking not much of it. If they had indeed traveled 800 miles, then certainly they would want to be near this Christ Messiah King, this peasant son of David. I'm sure they stayed at the inn. Have you ever stayed at the inn at Bethlehem before? Of course not. None of you would degrade yourselves so low, but if that's what they wanted to do, they were welcomed. But then another week went by, and another, and I realized that those magi, those pagan philosophers, had no intention of returning. They had deceived me. They were not coming back to show me where this child was. They had deceived me, their king, and your king, the right king of the Jews. Everyone knows it. Do you know what this meant? Do you know what this means? Our western borders are always protected thanks to Rome, but always, always, always at the eastern border of the frontier, we would face invaders. They would come, and I built garrison after garrison, stronghold after stronghold, fortress after fortress, defending you, defending Judea, defending all of us. These weren't magi who had come to find a peaceful child. No, these were interlopers. These were spies. These were insurrectionists. They had come to form an alliance so that they could come, march into Judea, decimate Jerusalem, and take away your power and my power. They'd come to destroy us. What kind of king do you want? I said, what kind of king do you want? Do you want a king who will stand idly by for 10, 15, 20 years until someone can rise up and a rebellion can start and can destroy everything I've worked for and everything you worked for? No. Or do you want a king who will stop the rebellion before it even has a chance to start? So I did what good kings do. I called in the captain of my guard and I gave him an order. I gave him an immediate order to take 40 men, march down into Bethlehem, and to slaughter every male child who even looked like he was under the age of 2. He refused me. He refused me! My sister Salome tried to come to his defense, but I had her taken out of the room. Without giving him a second chance, I ordered my captain to kneel before me. And then I told his lieutenant to execute him on sight. And he did. He did. And then my new captain took his men, marched into Bethlehem, and in the twilight of early morning, carried out my orders. And I, a pious man, stayed here in Jerusalem. My men found no sign of a child who could be called the son of David, the Messiah, or a king. They found none of the treasures the Magi had brought. I sent soldiers to the west. I sent soldiers to the south. And all of my power, all of my influence. And somehow a child not yet 2 years of age had escaped me. I don't know why you are all so upset with me. It was only 20 children who were lost in Bethlehem. And they were none of your children. I've had to execute 3, 4. No more than 5 of my own sons to protect Judea. You must realize that everything I do for you. I do to protect your power and your influence and your station in life. What kind of king do you want? Do you want some miserable peasant? Some miserable peasant who has no experience, no connections, no knowledge, no wisdom? Is that who you want as a king? My father was an advisor to kings and emperors and Caesars. I have fought for every inch. I have fought every day of my life for every bit of power that I have. Power, true, that I have over you, just as Rome has over me. But I, in return, give you power so that you might lord it over others. Everyone serves someone. What kind of king do you want? And don't forget, I rebuilt the temple. Without me, you could not have a right relationship with God. It's true. This child may indeed be a son of David, but he is a peasant. Take it from me. In 30 years, if he rises up, don't bend your knee. Don't follow him. Don't bow down. Every king is a tyrant. I should know. They're only interested in their own power. If this son of David ever rises up, he will only be interested in his own power. He will only be interested in his own glory. He will not know your face. He will not know your name. He will demand that you serve him and give you nothing in return. He won't care what kind of person you are, if you're good or bad. He will force you to sacrifice your own lives to save his own. Everyone serves someone. What kind of king do you want?
Herod was wrong. Jesus is a king that came to serve. Jesus is a king that is calm and in control. Jesus is a king that is patient and kind. Jesus is a king that cannot be threatened. Jesus is a king that knows your face and knows you by name. He loves us. He came down and took on the human form of a baby. He walked among us, and he sacrificed his life so that you and I could have a right relationship with God. He is the risen King who ascended into heaven and seeks all to come to him so that all might be saved. So this Christmas, as we await the coming of the King, as we await his second coming, won't you come to him? Won't you come and bow down and worship your Savior, your God, your Lord, your King? Everyone serves someone. Who do you want to be your King?